Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Glory to be to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. Thank you, Father, for your presence that you have released upon us today. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. And may your may that same power rest upon your word that we're going to share. And may it change us. May it inspire us to know you more and more and to be committed to you and to your kingdom. We glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you for coming. Let's give another big hand clap to the worship team. Hallelujah. God is good. Did you watch the game last night? The praise watched it. Okay. Did you watch it? Of course you had to. Yeah. German came from, was it a goal down? Okay. Yes, then it went on and won the game. Hallelujah. Okay. So anyway, as we worshipped, as we had this wonderful session of praise and worship, I remember the time when we had, we were doing very well. Like as a church, our worship had gone to another level, a great level. Then things happened, okay? When I began to expose what Elvis is into, demonic stuff, okay? So people left in the congregation and some in the worship team. So in a sense, our worship was also affected, okay? So we went down, a go down, all right? And now we are, now we are coming back. Glory be to God. Amen? Like German did, we are coming back and overtaking. Glory be to God. So we thank God for Juliana and Andrew, okay? There's a man here who's never, we talked about, amen? But without his voice, the worship wouldn't be as good as it is. Glory be to God. So let's give all these men, big hand claps. Amen. And if you continue to do a good job, we shall also give you women. Hallelujah. One woman each, all right? One woman each. Glory be to God. Proverbs 31 women. All right. We'll have sources of income. Glory be to God. I think you guys wonder how my mind works. Yes. So we thank God. This is awesome. I'm sure God is so pleased. All right. I remember the dream praise had sometime last year. Where people were going to heaven, and anyway, there were worship teams all over the world, were going to heaven, all right, and there were buses taking them, and the LAT worship team was boarding the first bus. Glory be to God. Was, the first bus. It wasn't Darlene checks what? Team, glory be to God. It wasn't Planet Shakers. How about say amen? Planet Shakers. Okay, it wasn't all those other what? It was the elite worship. I think that dream, I don't know what it meant. I'm not sure, but maybe it means that at that time, we were the best in the whole world. Joan, what do you think? If we're going, worship teams were being taken to heaven for worship, you understand? And we were boarding the first bus. So I think at that time, God was saying, actually, You are what? You are the best according to my standards. Yeah? Not human standards, God's standards. Glory be to God. Man, to be honest, those are the things that I love to hear. Okay? Those are the things again which make me again realize that, Father, like when we grow and we become huge and we become famous, okay, may I or may we never think that the biggest is the greatest. Do you understand? That the most talented is the greatest. You know, because I'm telling you, you can have the greatest musicians in this country, okay, and they form a worship team, okay, and the whole Uganda will go to listen to them, and they will say these are the best because the best talent in the country. And God is like, those are yours, you know. Then God will show you a church in Kayunga. Do you understand? A church which is even, it's not using these drums. It is using our what? Traditional drum. And God says, those are the best. But every time I think about these things, in a sense, I get scared. You know, So you start to think, so how many things are we calling the best? Yet, according to heaven, it's like, they are not anywhere near the best. You know, And you can use that for all other things. How many things are we calling prosperous? But in heaven's eyes, they're like, God is like, nothing. They are not. Hallelujah. Okay? If I were part of this worship team, man, I would be so proud in the Lord. Okay? So proud of us. Glory be to God. Amen? Yeah, so we thank God for the worship team. Okay? I don't think there's anyone in this church who sacrifices more than the worship team. Maybe the only one who sacrifices more in this church is Joanne. Glory be to God. Okay? Again, just show that the leader of anything is not always necessarily the most faithful, the most hardworking, the most, you understand? God, these things are scary. Glory be to God. So for me, at least for me, I acknowledge, I'm not the most committed, the most faithful in this church, though I am the pastor. And that is very bad. So I should style up. Okay? It's people like Joanne. Okay? I'm telling the truth. It is the worship team. Okay? Guys burn their data to download songs, you know. And some of them are always there on Saturday, you know, evening. As some of you are on other things, people are, you know, and they burn transport to do that. Then they come here early in the morning before all of us, man. You know, Okay? So let's give them another big hand clap, Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Today we are going to do a lot of reading. We are going to read the entire Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Hallelujah. So for those who don't love reading the Bible, you are in trouble. We shouldn't only be the best worship, okay? But we should be the best at everything. Glory be to God. Everything that we are called to be at the church, we should be the best. We should be what? We should be the best. Glory be to God. We should be the best. So, Revelation chapter 2. I was reading these chapters yesterday morning, and something struck me. You know, I've read these chapters since I got saved, okay? And there's so many things in there you can learn, okay? God talks about there are seven churches there, and he tells them what they're doing wrong, what they're doing right, tell them to style up, okay? And then there are rewards for each church, okay? So the rewards are many. So yesterday, I decided to group the rewards, like write each church, put a reward it was going to get, and the instruction, and you know it got, okay? Then as I looked at them, you know, the instruction, the rewards for each church, it dawned on me that actually you can make things simple, okay? There are essentially two rewards when you look at all of that, the those churches, okay? Two rewards that, you know, it was basically the number one reward, you know, is intimacy, closeness to the Lord. Okay? And I'm going to show you how I came up with that conclusion. Okay? Intimacy with the Lord. Being closer to the Lord than other people. Okay? It's a reward, again, of faithfulness. Faithfulness and love. And to Him. Okay? Then, the second reward, you know, is authority. Authority, which essentially is reigning with the Lord. Okay? It is authority, reigning with Him. So there are two rewards, okay? There are the seven churches, you know, are talking about, and those rewards are also available unto us as a church, to you as an individual. And number one, you know, being closer to the Lord than anyone else. You know, and there is no greater thing in the world than that. Okay? Number two, having authority. And this authority, of course, the ultimate of it and its exercise will be in the millennium, all right? But in this age, you know, in this life, okay, you can actually walk in that authority that God gives you as a reward for your faithfulness, for your love, and to Him, okay? And you can exercise it in the different spheres God has called you. Where in a certain sphere, man, you know, you are an authority, okay? A spiritual authority, not a carnal authority, okay, which is just hype and just noise and grammar. We know it is where those who are humble, those who see with the eyes of the Lord, okay, can discern and say, man, you know, this person, this man, this woman has authority in this area. Glory be to God. Amen? So, we're going to read this, okay? And hopefully, it will inspire all of us, okay, to become more faithful in whatever we have been called, okay, and to love the Lord more and more. Glory be to God. Amen? So, let's begin from Revelations chapter 1, verse 20. And then we shall go down. You know, we are going to read the entire Revelations chapter 2 and Revelations chapter 3. Okay? For the last two Sundays, we have read many portions from Revelations, especially to do with the coming of the Lord and the great tribulation that we're going to go through, okay? So it looks like God is giving us a little understanding or a little study in the book of what? Revelations. Okay, for some of you who don't, man, you just stop at what? At Hebrews. Then say, man, Revelations, those are yours. Okay? So, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. That verse follows an experience John has had or he's having where he saw the Lord in his splendor, all right? And he saw him, you know, in the midst of seven lampstands, all right? And he had in his right hand seven stars. Glory be to God. If your Bible, instead of lampstand, if it says candlesticks, okay? Yeah, I don't want to say we throw it away, but on that issue, it is wrong. They're not candlesticks. They're what? Lampstands. Okay, so now, Jesus is going to explain what the stars are and the lampstands. So he tells John, verse 1, 20, says, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. Okay? So does each church have an angel? Okay? It seems like each church has an angel. Eh? All right? Yeah. Every human being, every person has a guardian angel. Okay? And then, for whatever else you're called to do, you understand? Eh? For whatever else you're called to do, okay, you also have another angel for that work. Okay? Who gives you who helps you, eh? Okay? Of course, it's under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Eh? Okay? But you have an angel for that. Eh? Okay? And churches also have what? Angels over them. Glory be to God. You know some guy called, now this is where I start to speak, and you might not finish Revelation 3, but it's okay, we shall go on. You know, there's a preacher in the U.S. called Leroy Thompson. You know him? Brother Leroy Thompson? I'm asking you, Brother Leroy, okay? Anyway, he's a prosperity preacher, eh? Okay, now, he's an old man now, okay? He's a, if you go get in his congregation and he starts talking about giving, okay? You might live without phones and bags, okay? Brother Leroy, okay? He wrote a book. I read his books, three books of his many years ago, like in 2002, okay? One of the books was entitled Money Cometh. Have you heard of that book? Or that phrase, eh? Money Cometh. And then he has other books, eh? Okay? Something about your wealthy place, eh? Okay? So anyway, he says that one time he was preaching, eh? Okay? He was preaching. That was, a raised, like most churches where there's a raised person. As he's preaching, he walks down to come closer to the crowd, to the congregation. Okay, then for some reason, he looks back where I'd come from. Okay, and when he did that, He saw a man dressed in a golden suit. All right? A golden suit, So he saw him. Then he asked the Lord that, who is that? Okay? Then the Lord told him that is your angel, okay, of prosperity. You remember? He's called, okay, to basically make the children of God prosper. Okay? So God told him that man is your angel of prosperity. Okay? Then he said, Jesus continued and said that he goes with you everywhere you go. Okay? To preach. Eh? In order to back up your message. Glory be to God. Okay? He goes with you everywhere you go. Okay? To back up your message. The message of what? Prosperity, giving and receiving those things. Alright? So now, that shows you, that brings an understanding why. If you listen to that guy preach, he's not going, what? The Hebrew, the Greek, what? Zero. This guy just talks, But man, the words that come out of him, really, there's nothing so deep with what he preaches. Okay? But somehow, the guy exudes an anointing, a power. When he's talking about simple things. Okay? Now you know that while he's speaking those things, there is a guy standing in the congregation, backing up with the anointing every word that he's speaking. Glory be to God. Amen. Have you listened to Benny Hinn? Okay, like when he came here, you know, the things he said, all these evangelists, the things which they say, they just open, let's open John chapter 3, verse 16. You think the guy has come to give you something deep, for most of you are looking, running around the place for deep things. So the guy is coming together, so excited, he's going to tell you deep things. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved, you're like, but that's what I know. You know, but man, it will sound like you have never heard that scripture. You understand? And then the results that will come, people will get saved. Yet for you, you sat down with a guy for 1 hour. You went through how Adam fell, how what, you know, you're dead in sin, now Jesus came to raise you up, you know, and someone didn't get saved. Then this guy, a great, you know, he has even whatever the plane from wherever, burnt all that fuel. And then John chapter 3 verse 16. And people get saved. Now, what is that? You know, it means there's something beyond the words. You understand? And that is what? The anointing. Okay? And that anointing, of course, it is the Holy Spirit, okay? But the Holy Spirit, very often, he also uses angels, okay? There are beings in the room, okay, which are there to back up, okay, to help the person, okay, so that what he's saying has effect on the children of God. Glory be to God, okay? Yeah. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Okay? So every church has an angel. However, in this context, these are not angels. You know, okay? The angels that Paul sees. Okay? These, the word angels means messenger. Okay? Okay? What you call in Swahili, in Luganda, malaika. Okay? That's why there's a prophet in the Old Testament who praise doesn't like, because that prophet talks about tithing. He's called what? Malachi. Okay, that's, you know, and actually his name means messenger. Okay, malaika. You know what I mean? Angelos, you know, messenger. Glory be to God. So now this. Stars, these angels were the messengers. Basically, they were the pastors over those what? Churches. Okay, and Jesus was giving a message to John to give to those what? Pastors. Those stars. Okay? And then the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So each church has what? A pastor, if you call him so, you know. And there were messages for them from heaven, okay, which they are supposed to give their people. Glory be to God. Then, Revelation chapter 1, verse 2. Now let's start. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, this thing says he who holds the seven stars. Okay, the seven stars. These pastors you see, who what, you know, you think they are that great. They are, Jesus has them in his hands. Glory be to God. They are, well, yeah. Okay? This thing says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. Okay? You, the church in Ephesus. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them wanting. Eh? Have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. Okay? People who say that Jesus doesn't point out your issues. Eh? Okay? There's a verse for you here. Eh? Okay? Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Okay? You no longer love me the way you used to love me. Okay? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. What is a lampstand? The church. Okay? So he says, man, Jesus is tough. Can you imagine? See, I'll remove the church. All right? And actually, a church, people can continue gathering together. But when God is like, that's no longer my church. Basically, he removed the lampstand. He left. Glory be to God. He did what? He left. People were just gathering there, just wasting their time. Okay? Not only wasting their time, but wasting their money. Offertory. Thinking that they're what? They're tapping into the anointing. These things, by the way, when you think about them, they get you scared. When the lampstand was removed already. Okay? So he says, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Verse 6, but this you have, a good thing you have, that you hate the deeds of the what? Shout. The deeds of who? I know why you guys don't trust your English. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So who are these Nicolaitans? I don't know. But the people I respect, one of them being Rick Joyner, says that Nicolaitans, you can understand them from the meaning of that name, late, you see there's late there. Laitans, you know, late, basically the people, who are not the clergy, and Nico means dominance, or overpowering. So these guys are something where it looks like the clergy, the leaders, the fivefold, was in a bad sense, like dominating the laity. You see, things like God cannot give you anything unless you are in good books with a pastor, with a man of God. You see, all those things. God cannot forgive you your sins unless you come and tell the priest or the pastor what you did. Then he intercedes what? For you. Such thing which just makes, the laity, the children of God, it makes them like they are nothing. They don't have access to the Father. Yet, the Bible says that, Jesus, he is the way to the Father. Glory be, and whatever you ask in his name, he will give it to you. Okay? So, these guys were having this, they hated that doctrine of subduing the people, And God said that that's good. I also hate it. Hallelujah. There's some things you hate which also God hates. Verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him whoever comes, I will give to eat. Now this is a reward. To him whoever comes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hallelujah. You remember I told you, I came up with a conclusion yesterday that there are two rewards, Christians will get, and which exemplified here, basically intimacy, closeness with the Lord, and what? Authority. Reigning with him. Eh? Okay? And I'll show you how I believe this is also related to that. Eh? You know, eating from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 8, the second church. What is the second church called? Albert? Smyrna, eh? Is it? Okay? So, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. Okay? These are the good things where the world is calling you broke, you know, and Jesus says, but you're rich. You understand? Well, his standards are different. Eh? Okay? This whole thing of a car means prosperity. Eh? You know, eh? Thank God, you know, I think someone died recently, a few months ago, and Benny Hinn wrote or said something about it. Eh? And then while he talked about it, he also said that at times as preachers, we have taken this prosperity thing too far. You know, he was acknowledging, you know, the errors that have been made. You know, a car, then the type of car, then the number of cars. You know, okay? The person who has no car, Juliana, is not fat, prosperous. Okay? Then the next in line is the one who has a car. Then the next, you know, is now the kind of car. Then the kind of car goes on and on. Then it reaches a point where now it's not the kind of car. It's how many cars. Okay? And then you are supposed to give so that you can also have many cars. You understand? Now, can you imagine? People are giving for these reasons. It's all about, it's greed, it's, you know, eh? And someone is playing on that. Fallen nature, eh? There is greed in all of that, you know, eh? And if someone can just tap on that greed that is in us, the fallen nature, eh? You know, eh? Now, the truth of the matter is God wants to take care of your transport needs. Eh? Now, how he takes care of them, that's the other thing, eh? You understand? Eh? If I can get from Chiwatule, eh, to town, you know, eh? And God is like, for now, I will provide your taxi need. I'm prosperous. Do you understand? Okay? When I read that thing, Benny Hinn's statement, eh? You know, I was like, thank God. Eh? That was like the first, you know, the second or first chapter in my book. And it is possible that that paragraph put off so many people. You know, who could have, you know, they thought this guy is writing so that he can show us how to get over, you know, a car like so and so, and how to get more cars, how to get all the land in Nigeria, you know. I think, man, that paragraph put them off, you know. First page, and the guy is telling you that, by the way, okay, prosperity is not about things, and it's not about how many things, you know, you can be like, no, I'm disappointed. Fitwagala, Range Rover, you know. Glory be to God. So, by the way, there's so many of you guys here who are who prosperous. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a time when I think I had like 60K on me, you know, and then, you know, I was walking somewhere. Then, man, Jerry, I think you are in the U.S. You are not around, and I didn't tell you. I forgot to tell you, or it wasn't necessary to tell you. Man, I picked 150K in the apartment. It's been a long time since I picked money. I remember I used to pick, you know, when you're a kid, this is where you want. I don't know why kids pick more money than adults. I don't know. Why? Maybe the angels show them the money. Okay? The angels show them the money. Now you guys were, And I'll say, you believe in self-help, you know what? All those things, you know, in your intellect. So you're not listening to the angels, eh? To show you, man, there's what? There's a man under that chair. Wouldn't want 50K. Now, is that prosperity? You don't want to accept that, what? Picking money is not even anywhere. But I don't know who's whatever in my Bible. Eh? It was in Revelation, so now it was in Kings. Eh? How did we get there? I don't know where there's some angel who wants me to read from 1 Kings 17 about Elijah, okay, telling the widow, just give me everything fast. Okay? And she did it, and man, a miracle. So giving and receiving, yes, it's there. Eh? But sometimes people, it's just what? Someone's playing on their heads, you know. Eh? All right? Yeah. Let me use this, okay? So, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you're rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Okay? God can see suffering coming to you, and you'll be like, now that you've seen it, why don't you take it away? And God said, no, it's coming. Okay, it's coming, but don't fear. Eh? Okay, indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. But God, you saw. Why didn't you stop it? Eh? In fact, you showed it to me in a dream, and I prayed against the dream. I prayed against it, but it still came. God, what happened? Say, God will tell you, yeah, that's part of the what? Yeah, that's what you signed up for. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. And I'll give you the crown of life. Can you imagine? You are going through in prison and in fact you're going to die. Be faithful. Eh? When they're harassing you, taking you out, you know, to kill you. I'm there. All right? Be faithful until the end and I'll give you the crown of life. All right? That's the reward. Eh? You saw? Crown of life. He was an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Eh? Another reward. Eh? You won't be hurt by the second death. Eh? The second death here means being sent eternally to hell. Basically, you will live forever with the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, writes, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell. Where Satan's throne is. But you're like, now, God, since you know that we're in this thing, why don't you take us away? Take us from that place where there's no devil. God's like, no, that's where I want you to be. We the devil. Glory be to God. Okay? Satan's what? Throne. By the way, I read like a year ago. Eh? This thing is not symbolic. Eh? Satan's throne. It actually existed in this place. Eh? Okay? Pergamos. Eh? It was an altar to Zeus. You know, Zeus? You who chicks who used to love reading books, those were Greek mythology books, you know. Eh? Okay? An altar to that god. And now that god was considered to be the supreme over all the other gods. Okay? And legend says that he had overthrown his father. Okay? He had overthrown his father and now he had become the supreme god. Glory be to God. Doesn't that sound like the devil, okay, wanting to take the place of the father, okay, and then, you know, eh? Anyway, you see, eh? So, there was a temple there, and there was an altar, okay, to Zeus, eh? Okay, of course, now, so many years later, this area, this locality, this city was, anyway, it came to nothing, eh? Then, in 1864, all right, 1864, a certain German excavator found it in that place. Okay, so he dug it up, okay, and he took it to Germany. All right, took it where? Yeah. Then, when Hitler came on the scene, he got to know about it. Okay, so Hitler called for it. You remember the throne of what? Satan. Okay, and it was put in a museum in Berlin, and the place Hitler used to give all those moving or captivating speeches, okay? They used that altar, that throne of what? Satan, okay? Zeus, okay? As the what? As the, like the plan. They built it exactly like this thing. You understand, eh? So now, you can understand why, how Hitler did the things he did. There was man, working with him. You can now understand why the guy said things, and apparently I hear, man, masses, people would cry. People would say, like, anything Hitler said, people were like, we are ready to do it, what? You know, eh? Just wonder why a guy who was that bad, he was liked by many. You understand? He wasn't alone. You understand? The guy wasn't alone. You see, the guy, you know, they had gotten the throne of Satan from Pergamos, and they took it to Germany in Berlin. And Hitler knew what it means. You know, Hitler, man, people just don't know these, what? Historians, what? Who just write things, for some reason, they hide the fact that that guy, Hitler, was a Satanist. And he was ministering under that, what? That anointing. Just like Leroy Thompson, you know, had an angel of prosperity who backs up his, what? Message. So these guys also, they're not alone. They have things which are backing up their things. Glory be to God. Amen. I knew a lady, those early days, the early days of Zoe, actually before actually Zoe fellowship, before it began. I and Elvis knew a lady. She used to come to him to inquire of him, and she would bless him financially. You know, this lady had money. Okay, the lady, she had the money. But she looked broke. But she had money. But you know, and then, years later I learned, that man, the devil is a very bad what? A devil. Okay? He gives you stuff, but then it has conditions, and some of those conditions are things basically intentionally to embarrass you. You understand? So this lady had money, and she was saved, by the way. But of course, later we knew a guy who was giving her that money. Okay? She was saved, but she was, you know, with a guy who was giving her that money, some Muslim guy in town, a very loaded guy, a guy who BYU just dishes out billions, and then later they're like, how did he do it? Well, you know, some guy, all right? So she's the one who used to give her that money. They were in what? A relationship. Now, one day, this lady said, that, of course, they were not married with this guy. They were just in a relationship. All right? So now, they had to do like one. Julius, what? She's what? Married officially, you know. Okay? You remember, this guy is a Muslim. So which is just going to be number something, number 10 or what. Okay? But for her, she was kawa, because the dimes, you know. But born again. All right? But she says, so in one day, so she was supposed to go now, I think to the guy's home or family, so that the guy can what? Introduce her and say, this is the next in line. You understand? This is a addition. All right? So, she was seated. Did I tell you that story? She was seated. Okay, of course, you go there, you sit in a chair, what? Sitting room and what? So, people come to greet her, you know those things. Then man, all of a sudden, some beings, like men, of course, why? Like human, man, but things came walking in the air. But small, beings came to greet her also. To greet her. Then she got scared. Then they said, no, for you, we shall not harm you since you're now what? Part of us. You understand? I know, they were walking, in the air, man, and we think the chicks of them came to also greet, because now they have, everyone in the house is coming to greet the, now this new bride. And those are the things, what? Walking in the air, man. Man, these things, you understand? He's a rich Muslim in town, some guy. BOU dishes, Ministry of Finance dishes, a guy, money, billions, and they wonder how they gave it to him. Then the whole nation is messed up, But guys have some things which are working for them. All right? So now later I could understand why this woman had access to a lot of money, but she looked boomer. Okay? You could see man, it's the money is there, but somehow she didn't enjoy, Okay? So, yes, Hitler, this throne of Satan in Pergamos. It was excavated in 1864. And taken to Berlin. And Hitler used it, to his advantage, in quotes. Now you can understand why Hitler was a bad Hitler. Man, people have things they're dealing with, but you have angels, and learn how to work with them, okay? Glory be to God. All right? The worship team, you remember that dream I had, okay, like 2 years ago or something like that. Okay, when I met some lady, who was the head of worship in a big church in Uganda, I dreamt when that lady was saying, I have left that church. I am coming to join LAT. Then we came here, Okay, then I told her that now that you have come to LAT, you'll be the one to play the keyboard. So I could understand God was saying that spirit or angel, the spirit that made that church, great at worship. It was the greatest in this country, by the way. Everyone who is humble, who acknowledges the truth, they will know that church was the greatest. And behind that, okay, it was that lady, a pastor's wife, who made it great. Okay? And now in the dream, God is showing me that now that spirit, okay, symbolized by that lady, has left that church, and now it has joined LAT. Glory be to God. No wonder you get these dreams of what? Of the first worship team, okay, to catch a bus to heaven. You understand? These things are not just, they're not random. They have a cause. Okay? They have a cause. And when people get to understand that and they get to learn how to cooperate with that spirit or with the angel, then the results will be amazing. Glory be to God. Okay, Hitler decided to cooperate with an evil entity, and you know the results. Okay, including the killing of 6 million Jews. Okay? One of the reasons was the throne of Satan, which was at Pergamos. Okay? So, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas. Okay? Antipas means anti-pope. Okay? Okay, Antipas was my faithful martyr. Who was killed among you where Satan dwells? But I have a few things against you. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. Eh? You know, Balaam? Balaam was a true prophet of God, but he had issues with what? With dimes. So you can be a prophet, eh? But you have issues with what? Money. So a preacher's weakness does not necessarily mean that he's no longer of God. You understand? Eh? People have issues. Eh? Money, girls, men, things, eh? Pride, you know. Eh? All right? So Balaam was a true prophet of God. So the king, some king called Balak, saw Israel coming, and the guy was, man, he got scared. That guys are coming to overtake me, you know. Eh? So he decided to call the prophet to curse them. Okay? Then the prophet, what? He jumped and said, man, it can't be. God has told me you cannot curse those who I have blessed. All right? Then later, Balaam told what? Balak. Because he gave him some dimes. Told him, now, the only way to get these guys in trouble, these Jews, is to get them to worship another God. Because if they worship another God, all right, then they will be in trouble with their God. He's like, that is the only way to get them in trouble. Okay? And use butchicks. Okay? Use the other foreign chicks to seduce them. Okay, so that the witches can take them to the temples of their what? Of their gods. And that's what Balak did. Glory be to God. Okay? So, I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak how to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. In First Corinthians, Paul says that, you know, concerning things sacrificed to idols, just give thanks and eat. Okay? As long as for your care, you know. So this is not a contradiction. Okay? Here it means they were actually in the temples, okay, worshipping there by eating, and sexual immorality. You know, there were temple prostitutes, both men and women. And these guys were doing what? Those things. Okay? So, let's go on. Okay? Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the what? Nicolaitans, which we saw also. Which thing I also hate. Repent or else I'll come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. God fighting against Christians. The grace of God, God and fight. You know. There you are. Okay? Okay. So, next church, isn't it? Have we finished the other church? He was an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna. Okay? Hidden what? Manna is hidden because it's not for everybody. You understand? It is for those who are like the closest to him. Eh? Okay? The word of God. Eh? All right? Again, that you see intimacy. Eh? It's not for everybody. Okay? And I'll give him a white stone. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. A new stone. Eh? A new stone, rather, a new name. Eh? Most of the places in the Bible where someone is given a new name, almost all of them, it is an honorable thing. Okay, you remember Jacob in Genesis 32? Okay, Jacob, God tells him that your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, okay, for you have fought with God and man and have overcome. Just so it was a thing of like honor, of authority, a new name. Glory be to God. The same thing with Abraham, from Abraham to Abraham, saying, I've made you father of many nations. All right? So, a new name is a sign of what? Honor and authority. Glory be to God. Okay, let's go to the next church. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things say the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Okay? Great stuff, eh? You're doing better than you used to be, eh? Okay? Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. All right? Basically, idolatry. Okay? With all the rituals. Okay? Sexual rituals, all those things. All right? These are a group of Christians in this city. Some years ago, like 2 years ago, I began to hear rumors from people that man, that the leadership of this assembly, okay, congregation, that the leadership, man, the sexual immorality they are involved in with the members of, with their congregants, you know, that man, it is bad. It was so bad. And someone said that actually, that guy, okay, that preacher, okay, entered demonic things, okay, and now this whole sleeping with girls, what? It is one of the what? It is part of the covenant, or the things that the demons expect him to do. You see, man, this thing, then of course, that time there were rumors and what, you know, Then later, I began to realize, actually, man, these things might be true. Okay? But it's a huge assembly, many people, Okay? So now, you're like, I guess, it's possible that now that's one of the things they have to do in order to what? To maintain the crowd. These are things I think about, and I'm like, you know, judging things by what? By senses. You know what I mean? So you sing a large thing, you talk about Jesus, and then you don't know, you know, you think it's the greatest, but you don't know how it became that large. You know, and now if you're faithful with the Lord, okay, and he gives you a reward of intimacy with him, that's when he can tell you that, by the way, let me beat you a whisper. Okay? Then he beats you a whisper. Says, by the way, that thing is not mine. And this is how they are doing it. Do you understand? You know, this thing of judging things by what? The eyes, the ears, it's very dangerous. Okay? There's a guy on Monday. Rachel sends me, the admin, Rachel sends me a message, okay, that there's a guy who wants to meet me, okay? That he has been wanting to meet me ever since he read some article of mine, some weekly word. But somehow, so he got Rachel's number from the website, and now, you know, he called her and to meet Pastor. And so I told her, give him my number. So, he gets a number, he calls me. Then I ask him, so who are you? He's like, Apostle Bawat. I was like, okay. I was like, okay, so you want to meet me? Okay, we can meet today. But before we meet, I first want to know who you are. You know, like, what is a, then say, I knew you from about open house. I was like, okay, if you knew me from those days, okay, let's meet. Okay? But I couldn't put a face to the name. So I decided to go on what? On the internet to see if I can get a pic of the guy. And really, I know him. So when I saw this face, I was like, this one I think is coming what? To give me advice. You know, the Lord told me, don't take the Lord's anointing, you know. But I was like, let me, what? But I knew, knowing how he was so, you know, involved in some place, I thought he's coming to give me advice. The Lord told me, you know, the Lord told me, I felt it in my heart, the Lord telling him, you know. And then, so we met this guy. I told Joanne about him. I met the guy. So the first, because I didn't exactly what he was coming to tell me, the first thing I told him, that I was like, so, what advice do you have for me? Then the guy said, but, I mean, what advice can I give you? I told him, no, people advise each other. He said, but there are levels. I told him, no. And then the guy began to talk. Within like 5 sentences, yeah, you know this guy. The guy told me about some preacher. Okay, he told me, he mentioned the guy's name, and you all know the name. He told me this person. He said that X is a dog. Man, I was like, how did this person change that? The guy then he talked. Can I tell you? X is a dog. And the guy told me things which I even didn't know. But one of the things he told me, and I'm not like getting this info from him, like, what, you know, tell me, you know, because I'm not interested. What I know is enough, yeah, to work with. Do you understand? God gave me enough to work with, to warn his children. Then the guy told me that he has evidence. And from the way he explained it, I could tell, man, this guy, you know, if this guy is, this guy should be careful with this guy because he can mess him up, balloon. The guy said he has evidence that this guy or this preacher, this guy is, you know, are sleeping with girls in dolphin suits in Bugolobi. The guy said he has someone who used to work there, okay, who used to usher the chicks into some room. He has info. Now I could understand why the girl said this guy is a dog. You see, and this one now he wanted to meet me was because he thought he was alone in this whole thing. He lost all friends. You understand? So when he read, man, there's a guy I can talk to. A guy who can click me. You see, So I think you wonder whether again it is something to do with this. Whether the covenants these guys are into, or the other thing could be that this is how maybe demons are transferred. You see, when I was in KPC many years ago, there's a man of God called Steve Langer. One time he preached about, you know, he likes the thing of sexual purity and what. So one time he came to, you remember, in KPC North, and he talked about sexually transmitted demons, STDs, sexually transmitted demons, man. Man, with chicks in child, got freaked out. You know, you could see people now are going to love Jesus with all their hearts, man. Okay? Sexual transmitted demon. They thought it was just sleeping around and then, you know. Then this guy said, actually, there's something called sexually transmitted demons. Man, guys got scared. And you know, there's a scaring, which is good. Maybe not. I don't know. Glory be to God. All right, let's go to, let's go on. Okay, so, and I gave her, that this woman, Jezebel, time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I'll cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into tribulation. Great. Okay, great. Tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I'll give to each one of you according to your works. Now I say, now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine of Jezebel, who have not known the depth of Satan, as they say, I'll put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. Okay, that's an instruction. Eh? Okay, then the reward, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I'll give power over nations. Isn't that authority? Power over nations, to those who overcome, okay? He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. I'll give him what? The morning star. The morning star, the first time that term is used, it is in Revelation chapter, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Okay? 14, 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, the real translation actually, the right translation is supposed to be how you are fallen from heaven, O morning star. Okay? But in Latin, morning star is the word Lucifer. Okay? So now that's how the name Lucifer came about. But initially, the verse is what? Morning star. Glory be to God. Okay? So, that morning star who fell, who now we know is, was Satan, okay, was one time so close to the Lord. Okay? But then, he fell. Okay? So, when God says, I'll give you the morning star, doesn't that look like intimacy? Remember, he was close to the Lord. You understand? Eh? And the term that you used to describe him now, God is using it in reference to you who overcomes. You know, the morning star. Closeness with the Lord. Intimacy. Okay? Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, I guess it is. Okay? Jesus is also the morning star, but now in capital letters. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's go on to the next church. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, says he was the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I'll come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I'll come upon you. You have a few names even in Sardis, okay? A dead church. Eh? But there are a few guys who are alive, eh? Okay? You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Okay? Revelations 19 talks about the bride of Christ being what? Clothed in white garments. Okay? You remember it? Okay, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself what? Ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for fine linen is a righteous act of the saints. Okay? Let's go back to that church. So you see, okay, the garments they're going to wear, okay, they're a sign of intimacy with the Lord. The reward is intimacy. Did you get it? All right? Let's go on, verse 5. And he overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. There it is. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He was an ear to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Ah, now this church, very wonderful church. Philadelphia. Okay? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. These guys had no issues, by the way. Okay? For you have a little strength, have kept my word, have not denied my name. You read about this church and you're like, God, I wish, man, we can get this CV as LAT. You know, this church is so wonderful. Okay? Indeed, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who saw the Jews and are not but lie. Indeed, I'll make them come and worship before your feet. Okay? And to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. We shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Okay? You're doing well. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar is immovable in the temple in which the Lord dwells. It's immovable. You can't remove it from there. Doesn't that sound to you like intimacy? The temple in which the Lord dwells. And God said, I'll make you a pillar in that temple. Okay? And he says, you shall go out no more because you're a pillar there. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Man, this church, Philadelphia. You know, Okay, the name of God, the name of the Lord, the name of the city, a new name. You understand? And then there are a pillar, you know, and for you to be given these names, you know, these are just, you know, authority. The authority of the Lord, now you have it plus, because you have the name. Glory be to God. Amen? So you see, this church, the rewards of intimacy, remember they're a pillar in the presence of God, okay? They can never go out from his presence, and then the authority that comes with the name. Glory be to God. And then this church, there's a guy who went in heaven, I think in the 70s, okay? He had a vision, he was taken up to heaven, and Jesus told him that your generation is represented by this church. The last church, the seventh church, he told him, now, this is the stage you are at. Again, which meant to show that Jesus is coming back soon. He told him, you are here now. He was an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, okay? Let's go to the last church. Should be 14, okay? And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, okay? The last church. Right, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm, okay? I wish you were cold or hot, okay? I never want to be lukewarm. I never want our worship to be lukewarm. That's why I'll always be the what? The choir master. Man, I never want my words to be chivy by you. But okay, the songs have Jesus in them. You know, they don't create the presence. Okay? Like Juliana created today. Okay? So then, because you're lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, I've become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire that you may be rich and white garments that you may be clothed that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Okay? Doesn't that sound to you like intimacy? you know, you're dining with the Lord. Not everyone dines with the king. It is for a special few. Okay, it says, I will come in and do what? And dine with him and he with me. Let's go on. To him overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Doesn't that sound too like authority? Okay? It is only kings, you know, who sit on thrones. And Jesus says, you sit with me on the throne. That's authority. Okay? But before that, he says, you dine with me and I'll dine with you. That is intimacy. You are in the inner circle, the closeness. Glory be to God. Amen? Those are the rewards, the seven churches. You can summarize them with two words. Okay? Intimacy and authority. Glory be to God. Amen? I had made for you slides, okay, but we don't need them anymore. But as the worship team gets ready, we can look at them real quick, okay? Repetition is a way to what? To retention. That is a wisdom key from Mike Murdock. All right? Repetition leads to what? To retention. So I didn't come to entertain you today. Okay? I came to make sure that you are impacted by the word of the Lord. Okay? And that what you learn today, it's retained. Okay? So that the Holy Spirit will use it hereafter. Glory be to God. That's why we're going to go through these slides. You came late. Hallelujah. All right? So the first church, okay? The next slide. The first church, it tells them, you have left the first love. You have left your first love. Basically, it's saying, love me again. Okay, love me. And the reward is intimacy, eating of the tree of life in paradise. Okay, remember, when Adam fell, he was excommunicated from paradise, the place where he used to commune with the Lord. Now, those who overcome, those who love God, okay, this is a reward of being taken back to that intimate place with the Lord. Glory be to God. Okay? The next church, he tells them, be faithful until death and I'll give you the crown of life. Okay? You see a crown, okay? The rewards, okay? A crown, A crown is for kings. A crown is for those in authority. Glory be to God. Okay? And then he says, you will never die. You will not suffer the second death. You won't die. So if you're not dying, what will happen? You will live with me forever. Doesn't that sound to you like intimacy, being with the Lord? Hallelujah. Okay? Next. Pergamos, Hitler. Hallelujah. Okay? Okay, they had to forsake wrong doctrines. And the reward was intimacy and authority. Hidden manna for the intimate ones. And a new name. A new name of authority. A new name carries authority. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have overcome. And you are a prince with God. Glory be to God. Okay. Jezebel there. Okay, forsake immorality. The depth of Satan. Satan was at one time referred to as the morning star. And in that church is told, I'll give you the morning star. You understand? Again, he was close with the Lord. Okay? And you also be close with the Lord. Let's go on. Okay? Sardis. Okay? They will be clothed in white garments. The same way the bride of Christ is going to be clothed. That is intimacy for you. Glory be to God. And then Philadelphia. I read about this church. And I was like, I wish LAT was called the church in Philadelphia. Wonderful church. Alright? You know, God told them, I'll make you a pillar, you know, in my temple. And you'll never be removed. That is intimacy. And then The new name, eh? The name of God, the name of the Lord, a new name for, you know, eh? Don't you want that? You know, the whole, all you need to do is be committed in love to the Lord. You understand? Eh? Be committed to the Lord. And then the last church that you're all a part of, eh? Okay? He says, open the door unto me. I'll come in and dine with you in intimacy, and you will sit with me on my throne. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. Father, may the words that we have received, may they empower us to continually be committed unto you in love. Let us not just do works, but let them be works of love, labors of love, because we love you. May we be those overcomers that shall be rewarded with intimacy with you, being close to you, and we shall reign with you by virtue of the authority that you will give unto us. We thank you, Father. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.